Well, good morning, folks.
Good morning.
Yeah, it's good to see you today. Brother Billy said he won't gonna make it quite yet. He should see us in a little bit. If everything goes well, we need to go ahead and see if we get the Sunday school hour started today. And we do greatly appreciate you being with us this dry morning that we've got. Yeah, it turned out to be kind of damp here. But you know, it takes it all for it to go around. So. But if you be sure to remember, tonight the services will be over at Burnell. And I believe they start at 6 o'clock. I think it's 6 o'clock, so we need to remember that, because it's a little bit change of schedule. So just look at the bulletin and look at those things that we have coming up and try to stay abreast of all those things. Continue to remember all those who are in special need of prayer, and I certainly can ask you to continue to remember Francis. It's been kind of a bad weekend, but well, thank the Lord we're still here. He's still in charge. I ask you to bow with us in a word of prayer this morning, and then we'll continue to look at how we ought to behave ourselves in the house of God. So, Lord, again today, it's with thankful hearts we gather before you. Thank you, Lord, that you've blessed us through another week and give us another opportunity to be here in the presence of you and your brothers and sisters and our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, I thank you for all the blessings of life. I thank you for your watch care and how you walk with us and minister to us as we walk through our lives daily. And Lord, you make yourself known and we feel your presence. And we know that you have us in your watch care. And Lord, I thank you for each one who's present today. Ask a special blessing on each one. Lord, help us to keep our minds focused on you. We're in a busy and a fast-paced world. But help us to just slow down, look around, and consider all your glory and your blessings. And let us see Christ, see you, and those things that we are part of in life each and every day. Lord, again, thank you for each one who's here. We ask a special blessing upon those who need a special touch today. Lord, we know that your will is going to be done in our lives. But we also ask you, Lord, to help us to yield to your will and just be at peace and satisfied and walk with you through life's journey in accordance to your will. Lord, we'd ask the blessings upon this church and this body of believers. Lord, be with Brother Billy and help him recover rapidly that he might continue to bring us your precious word. Thank you, Lord, again for all the blessings, but most of all, for saving us. We were not worthy. And for all the blessings that have come our way. This we ask in the precious name of Christ. Amen. Now we'll read our memory verse, so to speak, that we've been talking about for the last two or three Sundays. And want to look at the latter part of this verse now. Because you remember, you know, we've talked about, well, let me read the verse and then we'll go. In 1 Timothy, chapter number 3 and verse number 15. But if I tarry long, Paul says, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of the Lord. Now, we talked about that first phase of that. And then we get, which is the church of the living God. Now I want you to notice the last statement in this particular verse. The pillar and ground of the truth. The pillar and the ground of the truth. That's what I want us to focus on this morning in the last statement in this particular verse. Now, as we started this, we looked at how we ought to behave ourselves in the house of God. And we looked that each and every one of us individually are a house of God. Because He tells us we are the temple of God. The Holy Spirit lives within us. So you and I as an individual are a house of God. Then we looked at us, all of us who know Christ, saved by marvelous grace. We're also a part of the church of the living God. So we together, all of us, make up and are part of the true church of Christ. We're not talking about Benson Grove Baptist Church. We're not talking about Baptist or Methodist. We're talking about the true church of God, which is made up of all believers. Now, let's look at something, a responsibility. We're looking at how we ought to behave ourselves in the house of God, which means our everyday lives, and we've discussed that in detail. Now, why? And what has Christ, and how has Christ chosen to bring the gospel message to the world? Most precious, precious message that's ever been given to mankind. God sent that message, sent through Jesus Christ, His Son, to the world through who? Let's look for just a moment. Now, I'm going to read a verse we read last Sunday and put a little bit more light on that particular verse too as we start. because of what it's one word in that. On this, I want you to go back with me to Ephesians. I'm not going to particularly be in any hurry this morning. So you can turn to it while I turn to it in the second chapter of the book of Ephesians. And I want us to again look at verse number 20 and 21. And like I said, there's one particular word in this verse that we're looking at in reference to what we're looking at this morning. He says, and are built together, or built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. I want you to keep that phrase in mind. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Now, what does that tell us right to start with as we begin to look at it at this study this morning? It tells us that those apostles and prophets were a very important part of the work of the Lord. Because we're talking about the foundation of what? He says, we're built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being what? The chief cornerstone. So everything comes back to that chief cornerstone. And then everything is built thereon. Now look what it says in the next verse. In whom all the building does what? It fitteth. And we talked about how it's built, how He did it. Framed together. But now, what's the next word? Groweth. Groweth. You know, we don't build a house, and after we get through that house, expect that house to grow another room. When you get through that house, you get everything fitted together and it's done, it's done. But see, here in this particular verse, he's put this particular word in that says it groweth. So what is the church doing? What is the true church of Christ doing? It's doing the same thing that you and I are doing as an individual. As an individual, we study and come and fellowship and listen to the Word of God. For what purpose? To grow in knowledge and truth. Study to show thyself approved. So we grow as an individual, and then the church grows in membership. But now look at that latter part of that memory verse we just talked about. He says, those apostles were the pillar in the ground, foundation. Well, let's look at a thing or two this morning as you think on that. Now, remember, it's all based on Christ. You and I take no credit, none whatsoever, for what the Lord does. All we are thankful for is that He uses us to help Him in His work, to accomplish what He wants to accomplish. And of course, we know that it's the thing that His desire is to see all mankind saved. So now look with me, if you will, at just a verse or two. And we're going to go back and start at the simple point. I want you to go back with me all the way to the book of Matthew, and I want you to go to chapter number 4 of the book of Matthew. And when Christ started His earthly ministry, started framing everything together, look at the statements that He makes. In chapter number 4 of the book of Matthew, in verse number 11, unless I've written something down wrong. Maybe verse number 18, I'm sorry. 18, not verse number 11. It says, Jesus, and when Jesus, now who's doing the walking? And Jesus is walking by the Sea of Galilee, and He saw, I hadn't paid attention to this right then. What did He see? He saw two brethren. Wait a minute. They're two fishermen. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. In Christ's mind, it's a done deal. They're already His brother. He knows what's fixing to take place. And what does He say? He saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net in the sea. For they were what? They're fishers. And He said unto them, I'm going to change your occupation. He says, follow me, and I'll make you what? I will make you fishers of men. I'll make you fishers of men. Well, who are we looking at? We're looking at disciples. Those disciples did what? They were called by Christ and worked with Him in His earthly ministry. He says, I'm going to build my church on the apostles and prophets who carried the Word of God, His brothers and sisters in Christ are the ones that carry the Word of God. Now, while you're in Matthew, let's flip on over. 5, you're right there at 5. Now let's look at verse number 14. It says, Ye are the light of the world. Wait a minute now. Who is the light of the world? He says here, you are the light of the world. He tells us over in John that he says, I am the what? I'm the true light. But he says, you are also a light of the world. Now, what does he say do? He says, you're the light of the world. The city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light, notice, let whose light? Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify who? Now notice, did it say they might see your good works and glorify you? Has not one thing to say about you and me glorifying anything. He says they're going to see your good works. They're going to see how you behave yourself in the house of the Lord. Going to see your good works, and they're going and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. I'm going to think about something when I was looking at that. Think on this for just a moment. Tonight, if it clears off, it'll be, we can do it. Tonight, if it clears off, the sun's going to go up. It's going to go down, right? Right now, if we have a full moon, how many of you have been out somewhere around the house and need to go to the house, didn't have a light, dark, got dark on you all of a sudden, and you couldn't hardly find your way back to the house, stumbling, scrambling, bebop alone trying to get back to the house. But how many of you have been out in that same situation and we got a full moon and a reflection off of that full moon will light the way enough that you can get back to the house? Well, where is that light that's guiding you back to the house coming from? Is it coming from the moon? Or is it a reflection of something that you can't see? See, we can't see Christ visibly. But he wants us to be what? He wants us to be a reflection of him. Because we've got a world of people walking in darkness. And he wants us to be a shining light for them. That we might guide them through the darkness. Where are we going when we're walking through the darkness? Most of the time we're headed where? We're headed to the house. What do we find at the house? Peace, comfort, safety. Plenty of light there. And that's what we're looking at for you and I. As we live our Christian lives, we're a reflection of the true Son of God. And we're a reflection of the true Son of God that will help somebody in sin and darkness be guided to the safety of his arms and the comfort and the pleasure of his arms. He says, I'm going to build my church on the apostles and the prophets, a pillar and a ground. Now, a while ago in Ephesians, we said that church is going to do what? What one word did I tell you to remember? Grow. 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 Now, what have you got to have for seed to grow? You got to have ground, right? Ain't going to grow unless you can put that seed in the ground. And you got to have moisture also. So, Where does he plant us? He says, be rooted and grounded in what? In the Word of God. So we plant ourselves in the true Word of God. And then we have the Holy Spirit that's within us that helps you and I to grow. The same thing with Benson Grove Baptist Church as a group of believers who trust in Christ. We're grounded in the Word of God, and we express the Word of God through what we're doing this morning, through teaching and preaching and evangelists, and like our brothers and sisters here that sing the glorious gospel message of Christ. All those ways that the gospel message is put out, that it might enter into our hearts, that we might grow in knowledge and grace of our wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. And that way, we have those who we lead, and they grow. They come to know Christ in saving grace because He uses us. Man, can you imagine? It blows my mind totally to think that God Almighty would send His Son, Jesus Christ, to Calvary's tree to die for mankind, and then depend on that rotten mankind to send the message. Think on that. I mean, He could have written it in the clouds. He could have done it any way He wanted to do it. But He gave you and I a wonderful opportunity as His child to live for Him and to serve Him and to carry that message and see somebody or many people come to know Christ and watch the church of the living God grow. So we need to behave ourselves as one of His children. Over in John, chapter number 9, in verse number 5, I want you to look at the phrase in this particular word. We say Christ is the light of the world, and truly He is. But look at the statement He says here. He says, as long as I am in the world, I am what? I'm the light of the world. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. Look at me, see me. Look at what I do. See me as an individual. But is He walking around here with us today? He's not present today. I've never seen Christ with my physical eye. But I've seen Him. I've seen Him through that Holy Spirit that's inside. And I know He's real just as much as I know you're real sitting here in front of me this morning without question. And He's still the light of the world. And He sent the gospel message that's the light of the world. And He's sending that gospel message to the world through you. You and I. And that's certainly why we ought to behave ourselves in the house of the Lord. In Matthew 28, back over to Matthew, 28th chapter, book of Matthew. We'll look at verse number 16, begin our reading in verse number 16. Then the 11 disciples went away to Galilee into the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some did what? Some doubted. It's always that way. Regardless. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. How much power does he have? All power given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye. Now, who is he talking to? Who is he meeting with here? He's meeting with his disciples. And here is the command that he gives his disciples. Does he say, I'm going to go do this? He says, now there's a responsibility that I'm now placing on you as my disciples. He says, go ye and teach who? All nations. For God so loved the what? The world. So he says, now you go to the whole world, you go to all nations. And he says, you baptize them in the name of who? The Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So now where does the command come from? From that all power, Jesus Christ himself. I'm going to send you. I'm going to send you with a command. I'm going to send you with a work to do. So he said, do those things I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. How long? Always. Now, what's fixing to take place in just a little bit? Where are we at in the process of Christ's reign here on this earth, so to speak? See, it's just about ended as far as his physical walk here is concerned. What's he fixing to do? He's already suffered, bled, died, and resurrected, and come back to make himself known after the resurrection. He says, and lo, I am with you always. Well, is he going to be with them always physically? Yeah, you think on that a minute now. Even until the end of the world. And then he put what on it? Amen. What's that? It's finished. I've done it. All power's given me. I've done everything that God the Father called me to do. I've been victorious over sin, death, hell in the grave. And now, I'm fixing to go home. Luke, chapter number 24. And verse number 44. Then he said unto them, and this is Jesus, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things, next word, must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the what? As your prophets to. And in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the what? Scriptures. Everything comes from the Scriptures that you and I know today. From the Scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that all repentance and remission of sin should be what? Preached. Should be preached in what? In His name. And it should be preached in His name where? Among all nations. And it's supposed to begin where? It's going to begin in Jerusalem. And it says, and ye are what? Ye are witnesses to these things. In other words, he's telling them, I'm not going to be here much longer. And you're going to be my witness. And you're going to be the preachers. And you're going to carry the message. It's going to be your responsibility to do what I have commanded you to do. Well, what has he commanded you and I to do? He's also commanded us to live a Christian life and carry the gospel message everywhere we go. Now, look at Acts. See, we're talking about the church. Chapter number 1. And verse number 1. I'll get that in a minute. The former testament have I made of Theopas and all that Jesus being brought to do and to teach. On the day in which he was taken up, after that he thought that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had what? Chosen. All right, now I want you to look at this verse in a little bit of detail. He says, in the latter part of that first verse, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. He said, unto the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given what? Commandments. Commandments. Give him a job to do in a hurry. He said, I'll give you commandments. He said, I'll give them to the prophets whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible. And notice that it said infallible proof, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So here's the 40 days after his resurrection, that Christ made himself visible in body to a multitude of people. Without question, I have risen. I'm alive and well. And be assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the what? For the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost when? Not many days since. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it's really none of your business. What did he say to them? It is not for you to know the time or the season which the Father hath put in his own power. So who's in charge of all this? All of it's God's doing, folks. But ye shall receive, next word, power. There's not a single solitary one of us in here that has the ability or the power to do anything that'll bring any kind of glory, praise, and honor to God unless it's through Christ and God Almighty. The natural man don't care anything about doing anything that pleases God. And he's not. If a natural man does anything good, what it boils down to is he wants somebody to look at him and say how good he is. He's not trying to set forth Christ for the example. He's trying to set himself forth for an example. But it says when you've received power, after that, where are you going to get that power? That power is going to come from the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, which has come upon you, and ye what? Shall be. I drew a circle around that one and underlined it. You shall be. If the Holy Ghost is working you, you can't keep your mouth shut. You're going to tell somebody about it. And he says, you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the othermost parts of the earth. And when we look at this, he says, you're going to be witness to me. And what's the first place he says? Jerusalem. What was the command? Go first to the lost sheep of the household of Israel and then go to the whole world. And here we'll see the pattern in the command that he gave them. Jerusalem first. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. And now he is no more in the world walking with them, is he? And while they looked steadfast toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up in heaven? Gazing, gazing, gazing. I imagine they did. Now, you think you'd react if you'd been standing there talking to Christ and all of a sudden, he takes off. Probably won't never forget that, would you? He said, why stand you here gazing up in heaven? This same Jesus, there's not but one. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go up into heaven. Then returned they into Jerusalem and from Mount Olivet, which is by the Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into the upper room and abode, both Peter and James, and then it calls all the apostles as they came and gather together. But if you notice, it also says these also continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brethren. They all gathered and they're waiting for God to fulfill the promise of him sending the Holy Spirit. In chapter number 2, in verse number 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Very important phrase in this particular verse. They were all in what? One accord in one place. We need to be in one accord in this place. The only thing around here that's important is the message of the gospel of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. That's what we have to stay focused on. Folks, there's only one way. There's only one path. And we better stay focused on that one way and that one path. And not let the world come in and mess up things. Here we see the establishment of the church. And my time's gone. But something came to mind. I got a couple of minutes, and I'll give you an example now. Because as we go next week, we're going to look at the church itself. We're going to look at a group of believers known as Benton Grove Baptist Church. And how we ought to behave ourselves and what we better watch for. Let me give you an example to think about this week. You know, we've had right much rain for the last couple of days. And I believe it is a funeral, Miss Peggy's funeral. And Joe Barry says, I believe we got a new leak. And there's a spot over yonder on the ceiling over the sound booth. And it's looked pretty damp. Now, I went to Brother Danny that this morning. There's a lot of people that's looking at us over the internet, and we'll be looking at us, Lord willing, when we go into worship service. All the dimmers and everything for the light switches, the man on the wall back there, there's an electrical panel back there. Now, where did that ceiling's got a stain on it, and we know that's a water stain, but where did that come from? Did it come from in here, or did it come from outside this building? It came from outside this building, but we also know that we see some results that it's trying to penetrate. In fact, it's already done a little penetration. Now, if we don't address that, what's it going to do? See, it's going to get worse, and it's going to get worse, and it's going to get worse. And where that's at, it can cut our internet off pretty quick. It can mess up the light system in here real quick. And all of a sudden, rather than have light in this church, you're going to have what? You're going to have darkness. So we better be on guard. And we go to see the little spot things of the world coming in. We better address it right then. Right then. We can't let it grow. I'll leave you with that to think on this week. God bless you, and thank you for being here with us today.